The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Is a lamp brought in to be placed under a bushel basket or under a bed, and not to be placed on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be made visible. Nothing is secret except to come to light. Anyone who has ears to hear ought to hear." He also told them, "Take care what you hear. The measure with which you measure will be measured out to you, and still more will be given to you. To the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's a little tricky to understand this passage, especially as it's proclaimed in assembly, kind of divorced not only of context but also continuity between the various passages. And you have to remember then that what it was we encountered yesterday in terms of the parable of the sower and the seed, 30, 60, and 100-fold, right? If we remain focused on God, all the way up. No, I do. If we remain totally focused on God, then we bear the fruit of his kingdom. Yeah? And here, this is very much a follow-on from what Jesus was expounding yesterday in his own sermon on his own parable. So here we have to, I think here we have to go a little bit deeper here. I always like to focus here on this this image that Jesus gives us, a lamp being put under a bushel basket or under a bed, as opposed to being placed on a lampstand, where of course it would give light to the whole room, the whole house. And when he asks that question, of course it's a rhetorical question, but I think there's something going on there that we don't initially grasp for ourselves. And that is that if there's a light being lit at all, then it's God lighting that light. I think sometimes we might hear, because of course we love just cherry picking quotes, and I do it myself. So it's, you know, I'm not condemning you for doing it, but it's like let your light shine. Do you know something like that? It's like, well, what on earth does that mean outside of context? I really don't know, but we might say those things. When we say that light, it's almost as though we're in possession of that light, or that we've done something great to have acquired it. And now it's on us to make sure that it goes out in front. It's like, that's so self-centered, it's unbelievable. You know, it's got hard, it's just hanging on to the gospel there by the thinnest thread, because it's too self-centered. And it's not what God is about, that's clear. It's not what Jesus is about, is the Word made flesh. It's not what the church is about. It's not what our mission is about. So that's the first point that I think has to be made, is that God is lighting the light. It's God. And we see it in we're only four chapters into the Gospel of Mark here. We see God is on the move. Right? God is stirring it up. He's not willing, as I said, he's not willing to settle for second best. God is going for it. And what is he doing? He's lighting people's lives up. He's doing it, and now our role in that will be, okay, what do we do? I don't want to make us like our action the center, but if our lives are lit up by God, if God is trying to light our lives up, what are we doing with that? And it, of course, the idea is to not put that light under a bushel basket. It's for us to not obscure that light. It's ours to, active receptivity. So we are striving to receive what God is doing. It's not that we're doing it, but we have to work to receive what God is doing. And we have to work on alignment, right? To live in accordance with the great gift that God is giving us. It's a very different project than the kind of self-starting, you know, Americanist type project. It's like we have to be active in our reception of what God is offering. And then we have to live in accordance with it. This is, I mean, you can hear perhaps some of the imagery or echoes of the imagery of the passage that we heard yesterday, again, with the sower and the seed. Active receptivity, right? You have to receive this, have to receive the seed, to receive the word, and allow the word to bear fruit. So our part is there, right? But it's a little different, I think, than we would otherwise conceive it to be. Jesus has come to inaugurate God's kingdom. He's come to build God's kingdom. And how is he doing it? He's doing it in a way that his contemporaries, I don't know, they had other plans, right? The way that they thought it would come about, the way perhaps even they wanted it to come about. I say that because we I think find ourselves in a default position at something like that. We want the kingdom of God. We want God's rule to govern all things. When we're honest with ourselves, we realize that he doesn't rule my own heart in its totality. And yeah, sure, human beings are meant to be stewards of all creation. But what about that small part of God's creation that's specifically entrusted to you, namely you, namely your body, your life, and all the rest? How is stewardship of that going? Right? And if of course it's a mixed bag, because we're all a bit of a mixed bag, but here faithfulness, right, faithfulness in living out our lives as God's good stewards, making his love count, demands, again, the renovation, the restoration of my whole heart and life. That's what Jesus wants to do. He's not going to stop short of doing it. Now, you can hold him off, right? You can come with your bushel basket to snuff it out, you know, but he's going to keep going. He's not going to rest until he has your whole heart and your whole life. For your good, not for his. He already has everything. For your good, he's going to demand everything you have and everything you are. Or he does demand everything. And he equips you to do it, right? Because Jesus does it, and Jesus gives himself to us so that we can do it. And then we can live as his good stewards, again, building up his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And then there's, of course, this, you know, we go deeper into the reality of that dynamic when Jesus talks about the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you, right? To the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Think back to the parable, right? Who has and who has not? The people gathered around Jesus are the people who have. If they continue to persevere in Jesus' life, like sharing his life and living the way he lives, they'll be given everything. But the one who only hears the parable and has very cursory understanding of what's going on, and, you know, the seed sown at the beginning of the parable, perhaps, they have nothing. Superficial, right? Now, we have a, just in case you needed it, we have a great saint who lived this out, who lived out the reality of these two passages, in St. Thomas Aquinas. Do you know? Because his whole life is faithfulness to God. He's a single-minded and full-hearted devotion to God. Does he do incredible things? Yeah, he does incredible things. But what's his motivation? Only ever Jesus. Right, we know towards the end of his life, he finds himself in front of a cross. He's praying. In meditation, he hears, "What would you have, Thomas? What would you have for your hard labor, for your work, for your fidelity, right? What would you have?" What do you say? "Nothing but you, Lord. Nothing but you." Where do you think the 30 and 60 and 100 fold came from? Was it his massive intelligence? This is one of the most intelligent people ever be alive. But was that the 30, 60, and 100 fold? We have plenty of intelligent people around today who are not bearing a lot of fruit, right? And throughout human history, plenty of intelligent people. Thomas, right? What is it? The 30, 60, 100 is his total focus on God. All the way down, all the way up. Had to get it in. Sorry, guys. it's my phrase I'm going to own. Okay. All the way down, all the way up. No, Thomas, everything, right? It's only you, Lord. He only wants Jesus. He only wants Jesus. Now, we may not be there today, but let's allow that to be the purifying principle of our lives. Let's find ourselves in front of God, praying as we are, and seeing and trying to answer for ourselves what we want. Because he's asking us, what do you want? And we want to want Jesus. That's okay. That's where we have to start. We have to want Jesus only. And then as we go, we start to get there. Because he's going to give us the strength. He's going to give us the power. He's going to give us the focus if we persevere there. Lord, I only want you. And when we find more and more that we're living that way, then we, my friends, are ready to bear the 30 and 60 and 100 fold of God's kingdom. That's his kingdom investment in us. He's pouring his life. This is, again, bushel basket. He's pouring his life into you today. God is pouring his own life into you today. And he expects 30, 60, and 100 fold. He expects you to be fruitful with what he's giving. He's giving you his own life. And he expects 30, 60, and 100 fold. We will get there, my friends. We have to give ourselves over to him and live totally for him and his purposes.